Happy Transfiguration Day! Yay! Okay. How many times have you heard that word before? Maybe a lot? It technically comes up in our church year every single year. It's in Mark, it's in Matthew, it's in Luke. We read it. But do we really understand it? As I told the kids, transfiguration is a big, complicated word. And if you Google it, all it tells you is it's a special Sunday for church when Jesus went to the mountains and God comes and says, "You are my son." Well, we know that already. It happened at baptism. Why are we celebrating? Well, there's another word besides transformation. We also have transition. This Sunday is kind of that weird Sunday where we're finishing up with Epiphany and moving on to Lent. We're moving from a time of inspiration and aha moments to a time of reflection, to a time of struggle. This is the Sunday that we celebrate Jesus being declared to be God's Son, and the disciples learn that Jesus is both human and divine. Now, we could go on and on forever about when does Jesus become human, when is Jesus divine. Church scholars have been debating about it from the beginning. That's why part of the reason we have the Eastern Orthodox and the Western Orthodox and the Russian Orthodox and all the other denominations. So we're not getting that answer today. But hopefully when we leave from here, we have a little bit understanding of what today symbolizes. This has been a day celebrated by the church since the 9th century. It's historical, it has meaning. It can be overwhelming. And so the first step to being able to understand what our scripture is telling us, what this day represents, is to look at the original Greek. The word that Matthew uses in particular translates to metamorphosis. Butterflies, metamorphosis, or an easier word, transform. And so from now on, let's call it Transformation Sunday. I like that. I don't know about you guys, but it's also, not only is it easier to understand, it's easier to say. Every year, Transformation Sunday has the same general story. Jesus is transformed. His face and clothes are shining with light. A Moses and Elijah stop by for a chat. Peter recognizes that this moment is important and wants to honor all three. But then God speaks in a cloud and singles out Jesus. Today's transforming scripture happens on a mountaintop and not by accident. In the Hebrew Bible, the mountain is where you get closest to God. God reveals God's self in bits and pieces on the mountaintop. We heard it first in Exodus, and then we heard it today. And so the transformation of Jesus leads to revelation about Jesus' purpose on earth. As I said, both Luke and Mark also have the transformation story. They have the three disciples, but each version is a little bit different. And when we look at each version, we get a little different message. Some people like to point to difference as justification for unbelief. But I like to think that the differences help us to widen our understanding of who Jesus was and who God is. Matthew is the only version of the transformation that includes Jesus touching the disciples and telling them to not be afraid. As the scripture says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." By including this moment, Matthew portrays two transformations. The transformation of Jesus from human prophet to divine, and the transformation of God's love from a powerful, booming voice to a human touch. Throughout Matthew, we are reminded that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And in these transformations, Matthew reveals how Jesus is Emmanuel. That's a lot. Now, we don't always get to go to the top of the mountain and witness God's powerful love and transformation through Jesus directly. But we do get to have our own mountaintop moments. In Celtic spirituality, these moments and spaces are called thin places, where heaven and earth are just a bit closer than anywhere else. God is always present with us, but in these moments, when events seem so out of the ordinary, we see a bit of God. And in these moments, we open ourselves even more to transformation. Of course, like Peter, James, and John, we're tempted to act afraid, though, or we search to explain them away. As a scientist, I sometimes want to figure out why it happened. What did the brain do? What had to be more than a coincidence? What's going on here? And we get so caught up in why it happened, or the fear, or the search to explain it away, that we forget to embrace the moment. Embrace the mystery. We like to be in control and have order. And so we want to shut out anything that doesn't fit in our way of life, even God. And yet in these moments of mountaintop transformation, God gets in anyways. God comes in the mystery and says, "Do not be afraid." One of my favorite thin places is Iceland. I had the opportunity to travel there in 2007 when I was at Kent State with the Geology and Geography Department, and spend 8 days going around the island. Now, Iceland in general, it just has a thin place feel to it, a mystery. One minute there is fog, the next minute the sun is shining, the next minute it's raining. The mountains from the volcanoes are jagged, and you can easily look out across the range and see the little gnomes, the fairies. It's a feeling. It's a magic feeling. And it can't be explained, but I highly recommend, if you ever get the chance, go to Iceland. But I encourage you, when you go home, to look at pictures. Look at the fog rolling in, look at the volcanoes. One minute you're on a glacier, the next minute you're fighting a volcano. But not only was this trip just special Thin Place for that, but it ended up being a special trip for me. Before I left, I did a prayer for safe travel, and in my head, I had these three things that I wanted to happen on the trip. I knew it was vain and a plan that God would laugh at, but I asked anyways, because I was dealing with doubt and questions about my relationship with myself and with God. I wanted to ride an Icelandic horse because they have a unique gait and can only be found on Iceland. I wanted to experience the midnight sale of Harry Potter Book 7 because we got into Iceland the day it came out, and I had never been to a party because I didn't read the books before then. And I wanted to see a rainbow over Gullfoss, which is one of Iceland's most famous waterfalls. It's this huge waterfall, has multiple levels, and the mist alone from the waterfall creates a rainbow when the sun's out. The first day in Iceland, partially thanks to a gentleman named Jared, who was also on the trip with us, I was able to arrange to go horseback riding and sit in line to get Harry Potter Book 7. The next day we went to the waterfall and it was cloudy. There were small bits of sun, but no rainbow. As we were leaving to go back on the bus, I started telling myself, I've only been here 2 days and I already got 2 of my 3 wishes. And then I was logically explaining, oh, it's just a coincidence. Jared's nothing special. I'm not going to get a rainbow. That's okay. And as soon as I said, that's okay, the sun broke through the clouds. I was enveloped with this overwhelming sense of love for God and for myself. I felt a sense of confidence in my relationship with God, and in that moment, confidence in myself and my ability to love others. I had gone to the mountain and been transformed. And in that moment, when the sun broke through, there was my rainbow. I didn't think about it until I was sitting up here listening to the choir. I should have sent a picture to Jim, and I apologize. But I encourage you, again, go and look up waterfalls in Iceland and rainbows, and it's beautiful. I had gone to the mountain and been transformed. But like Jesus tells Peter, don't tell the story right away. Wait until after the crucifixion and I rise again. Even though we may feel the transformation immediately, sometimes it takes time for what is being done to be revealed. When we embrace the thin places and allow God's love to transform us, we get these special moments, and we need to hold them with us because there will be hard times in life. We're not mountain people. We have our valleys. We have our hard times. We have to come down just like the disciples. We know that God is always present with us, but sometimes the struggles of life get in the way and we forget. We let fear and doubt creep back in, just like the disciples let them creep back in as everybody moved towards Jerusalem. We hold on to those thin moments for ourselves, for in the times of struggle, we can look back on these moments. We can remember them, we can reflect on them, and through that, God's love can once again transform us. At the time, I felt a little moment. I felt that special moment in that thin space. But it took 2 years of that moment to when I realized that I not only found myself, but I found my husband. That experience is important for me personally, for my relationship with God, but also with my husband and with one another. Thin spaces are important to hold on to. I still look back on Iceland, particularly when Jared and I are going through rough times or when I start to doubt God's presence. When I remember it, when I remember that waterfall, I'm calmed and transformed again. The mountaintop moments give us the hope and comfort we need to get through the valleys, to get through the time of Lent, to resurrection and hope. Epiphany is considered to be the season of aha moments, of light. We're moving into Lent, a time of reflection, a time of struggle. And in between, we have Transformation Sunday. A transformation from light to love that we need to hold on to as we journey to the cross with Jesus. God's promise that God will be with us and love us through the good times and the bad times. May you all have your own thin place moments. Amen.